Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah. That's enough. Come on, shut her down, baby. I'm telling you, I have more trouble with those wolves. Keeping those wolves in line. It's terrible. Tommy in the bunker this morning. Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's a little after lunch. I got a late start. Well, I've been working on the console all morning. So anyhow, we got a full moon yet out there, and it's Saturn's day, June 14th, 2014, and it's beautiful sunshiny day here. It's staying cool, nice, not real hot, not that humidity stuff, and just fine. I can sit out on my patio, my private patio there. I can have me a little drinky winky, listen to some political news, and read the newspaper, and it's a nice day here in paradise. How about that? Well, let's lead off the show with some comment here, some controversial comment. Maybe controversial, maybe not. TT, my big problem with the Greek Golden Dawn is that they are primarily a Greek nationalist group. In that brief speech you read, we heard a lot about Greek workers and Greek people, Greek nation, but what we did not hear was anything about white people or white workers. To me, they seem like an old-time nationalist political group talking about rights that don't exist in nature and pushing an agenda through a flawed political system. They seek to take power and hold it by elected democratic means, which in the end will fail. In other words, they are just another political party seeking results through politics and elections. We've been down this road before. It's always come apart as it is there already, as their opponents strip them of power and throw their leaders in jail. This is a seriously flawed strategy by a narrowing focused political party. I see no future for the Golden Dawn. In fact, they remind me a lot of Rockwell's plan back in the 60s. The only reason they had their brief bit of success was because of the national economic meltdown. They will not be allowed to sustain that power, and I suspect they lack the courage to turn the fight for Greece into anything other than a political one. Except maybe, Tommy says, marching around in the streets with T-shirts and flexing muscles. This is the one thing I respect the Arabs and the niggers in Africa for. When they want to change a political system, they pick up guns and knives and start changing it. They don't go around having rallies, protests, marches, and giving speeches to try to convince the deluded masses into electing their agenda. Instead, they go about killing the opposition and enforcing their control, and then the masses follow. Well, I can't disagree with that. That sounds like a pretty fair comment to me. Yeah. I've always pushed, or I've loved for a long time, pushed pan-Aryanism, not narrow nationalism. Now, we are tribalists, that's for sure, and we can have secessionist movements, and we can have a split the property up and a territory up among ourselves according to the kind of people we want to be around, even if they are white. But It's not going to go the way a lot of people think it's going to go. But I think, first of all, there's going to be the uproar, the disintegration of the empire, and then when the smoke clears, we'll see who's who. I don't think there's any way, period, of solving this in a peaceful way. Now, if anybody knows and has the magic twanger, let me know. These bastards have had, what, a couple 300 years of examining every loophole that you can use to try to drag them from the seat of power. And they know every damn move almost you can make other than a direct move or a sustained unconventional warfare. Now we see what's happening in Iraq. Which is a good lesson to the system. The same thing that happened in Vietnam. Anybody that's willing to keep on fighting with almost nothing father to son, you know, son to grandson, right on, say, we're going to fight forever until we win, we'll win. The American brand of doing this is not that way, because we're a polyglot people. We've got this idea of, we're going to take care of it right now and be back for dinner. Well, let's see if we can find a little archival stuff here. Some of the old stuff, little history stuff for Saturday. Give old Terrible Tommy a little rest here. No, I got plenty of work to do, man.
In our most important clip of the show, a little something from the news that should scare you to death.
A flyer appearing to be from the FBI has been turning up at local gun and ammo shops, instructing employees there on how to identify suspected terrorists. But some store owners say that its regulations might affect more than just enemies of the state. 4029's Kyle Cabote found out today why the flyer might cause problems for regular customers.
The flyer is designed to keep guns like this one out of the hands of suspected terrorists. It instructs store owners to look out for certain customer characteristics, like insisting on paying with cash only or purchasing large quantities of ammunition or other gun accessories. Store owners are also supposed to look for people with missing hands or fingers, chemical burns, or stains on their clothing.
Generally, this whole thing is my customer base, probably the customer base of most all your gun shops.
Jim Snow, owner of Rebel Arms and Sporting Goods in Nob Hill, says the form's definition of a terrorist is debatable.
Well, that's generally what a gun owner is. He's buying a bipod for his rifle. He's buying handgun ammunition. He wants a container to keep it safe in.
He says he isn't comfortable using that criteria to profile people in his shop, especially when many are longtime customers.
They're wanting kids to turn their parents in. They're wanting parents to turn their kids in.
Ron Garrett from GI Guns and Ammo and Rogers doesn't see the point of the flyer.
Whoa, they're looking to take your guns away. You guys better get that Cosmoline. Better wrap them up real good. Oh, man. You know, every day it gets worse. And these FBI jokers, they're all over the place. They're sending notes to everybody to be on the lookout for terrorism. I've gone over to Infowars.com. That's one of those Alex Jones white right-winger kind of joints. But he's got some interesting information. If you haven't been over to his site in a while, I'll sort of bring you up to speed on that. And I was flipping through some things, and I found this little quote, "Happiness is a warm gun." And I like that. I'm going to use that one. All right, everybody. Let's see. Oh, before we do the gun thing, I've got this on my desk. Let's get it out of the way. Nearly one in three Colorado graduates needs remedial courses in college. This is community college, mind you, for dummies, right? By the numbers, 52.7% of Colorado students starting a two-year school who needed remedial help in math, reading, or writing. 52.7%. Oh, my God. Over half the kids going to two-year school are too stupid to attend. Can you believe that? 17%. That's the number of students at two-year schools who need help in all three. Math, reading, and writing. 19%. All right, first-year students at a four-year school who needs help in at least one of those areas, math, reading, or writing. All right, 40% first-year students in two-year schools who need math tutoring. 16% first-year students in four-year schools who need math tutoring. Okay, well, I guess that tells us the obvious. All the dummies go to two-year schools. And can you imagine what a poor job these schools are doing, that they're graduating kids out of high school, and, you know, they're going to the next step up, the 13th grade, first year of two-year school, and they can't hack it. That's just sad. Man. Hey, you know, make sure if you guys have kids, gals too, homeschool them, You cannot rely on the school to educate your kids. Naturally, everybody's concerned about race mixing, brainwashing the kids. But more than that, they're just leaving the kids fucking stupid. I mean, they just, you know, hey, you want your kids in mental category 5? You keep them in that public school. And for you non-U.S. military folk, mental category 5 is too stupid to serve. or at least dangerously unintelligent. All right. Student arrested over an Obama sticker gets a settlement. A Dakota Ridge high school student who wore a, quote, Obama sticker taped across the front of his shirt will, before an appearance from Michelle Obama, will receive $4,000 from Jefferson County authorities. The ACLU of Colorado announced today. That's right, this $4,000 settlement, which is way too little as far as I'm concerned, where's this $4 million? To avoid a lawsuit, on November 3rd, 08, Blake Benson showed up outside the high school gym as everybody was lined up to go in the gym to hear Michelle O'Negro speak, and they bounced him, and they said it was trespassing when he wouldn't leave, all because he had a normal shirt, and then he had a little sticker on it, a homemade deal, and we're talking about something 18 inches to a foot long taped to his shirt. Nothing threatening. He didn't say, nigger, I'm going to kill you. You know, all that stuff that everybody would have wished he would have said. But, you know. All right. Student arrested for terrorist. English class story. That's right. A George Rogers Clark High School junior was arrested for making threats. Ooh, his writings got him arrested. That's right. This kid, William Poole, age 18, and they're giving his name out because he's, you know, 18 years old. He's just not a kid anymore. He told Lex 18 that the, Channel 18, that the whole incident is a big misunderstanding. His grandparents found his journal and turned in to police a short story written for English. Okay? He is under arrest now, second-degree felony terrorist threats charge, okay? It's a fake story. I made it up. I've been working on one of my short stories, and the story they found was about zombies. Yeah, I mean, it related to a high school, but it was about a high school taken over by zombies. Even so, the police say, even though it's zombies, that's felony. Anytime you make a threat or possess a matter involving a school or a function, it's a felony in the state of Kentucky, according to cocksucker Winchester Police Detective Stephen Caudill. All right, let me spell that so you can call up that police department and yell at him. C-A-U-D-I-L-L, okay? As you can imagine, Poole disputes that he was threatening anyone. Now, the real story here is not that this kid got arrested. It's that he's got family members, okay, grandparents, that are such pieces of shit that they called the thought police on him. They got a story here, and they, maybe he's going to go shoot the school up. We better call the police, because you don't know what he's going to do. So I bet these are feeble-minded, elderly people that should probably be in a home, and you know, they're turning their kid in. Well, the real problem here is why aren't these grandparents being taken away? Well, obviously, if you want to snitch your family out for writing a story, something's wrong with you. We already know that the government's at fault and they're evil and the whole bit. And there's pride there, so I ain't even about talking about it. The real problem is why these family members snitching. I give credit to the black community. They have the No Snitch t-shirts. It says stop snitching. It's a stop sign, right, on a black shirt. You can also get it on a white shirt. And it says stop snitching. It's great. And then they had some version 2 shirts that had bullet holes in the sign. And that was even better. Yeah. Now let's talk about another dummy. Man arrested faces 5 years in jail for reporting firearm to police. This happened November 17th in 09er. This is Britain, by the way. London. A former soldier has become the latest victim of a predatory UK police state after he was arrested and convicted by a jury for handing in a shotgun to the local police station after he found it in his garden. Okay? The man faces 5 years in jail due to gun laws. Okay? He can't even touch a gun without being charged with possession of a firearm. Paul Clark, age 27, possibly brain damaged, was found guilty of possessing a firearm at Guildford Crown Court on Tuesday after he found the gun and personally handed it to police officers on March 20th. The jury took 20 minutes to make up its mind and convict. He now has a 5-year mandatory minimum for surrendering a found shotgun on his property. Mr. Clark said, "I didn't think for one moment I would be arrested. I thought it was my duty to hand it in and get off the streets." No, it's your duty to say thank you to the shotgun fairy, wash that gun, possibly drill the serial numbers because, I don't know, it's probably got a body on it, okay? There's no ballistic matching so much on shotguns, you know, you don't have rifling. I'd be worried about lead matching, so I'd have to get some aggressive lead cleaners, really scrub that barrel, probably scrape it real good, make sure it's totally clean, totally disassemble this weapon. I mean, sand down the firing pin, like, really good, change ballistic signatures. The extractor, that would have to get sanded really good and file it, you know, whatever. Make sure you get all these tool marks off of it. And then put it in a tube. Put it by the wayside, maybe try and find somebody that's got some spare 12-gauge ammunition. Shit, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you won the lottery. Free gun over there in Britain where you can't get them, okay? So not only did you get that shit for free, you went and snitched on yourself. Goddamn, you're stupid. Anyway, back to the story. He found it in a bin liner at the bottom of his garden. Unfortunately, I don't know British English. I suppose that's a trash can. I don't know. Which backs up the public fields. He called Chief Superintendent Adrian Harper to let him know he'd be visiting the police station, dropping the gun off. He removed the gun from the bin liner, placed it on the table facing the wall. He was instantly arrested for illegal possession of a firearm. Okay? Surrey police issued a leaflet encouraging people to report found firearms, okay? Clark was told by the prosecuting attorney that his honest intentions were irrelevant. Possession of a firearm is a, quote, strict liability charge, okay? Just by having the gun in his possession, he was guilty of the charge and has no defense in law against it. According to the DA, filthy cocksucker. Okay, he now is facing 5 years in jail, mandatory minimum, by turning a gun into police. But the question is, why is he going to jail instead of a mental institution? Because he is so stupid as to snitch on himself and give away the free shotgun the shotgun fairy dropped off to his house. It doesn't get more awesome than that. I mean, come on. I'd be kind of worried about, wait, if somebody trying to set me up. And once I figured out the thing was cool, I mean, nobody's going to let it stay out there a week. You know, cops ain't going to watch that gun for a week. Now put a tarp over it. And, who's touched that shotgun? Maybe I'll go up and take that bin inside the house. Or inside the woods, drag it off. Shit. This is the latest example of how the UK police has been malevolently manufactured to oppress the innocent in a predatory fashion. Well, that is not a surprise. One guy says he lived in the worst area of town. Local teens would openly carry guns as they walked down the street. Okay, if a citizen goes up to a cop and hands him a gun that he found abandoned on his property, he's arrested as a criminal. Well, that's awesome. Well, I guess that's everything here in this article. Let's go on to another one. We're taking these in sort of random order. Missouri Democrat, poor, too irresponsible to exercise Second Amendment. Now, remember, whenever you see the word poor, you got to insert the word negros. So let's read this correct statement. Neither is too irresponsible to exercise Second Amendment. Hey, that's pretty much a true statement. How about that? All right. The amendment by Tom Price, Republican from Georgia, would bar any housing authority from restricting legal ownership of guns. All right. It was adopted 38-31 as part of a housing bill. Well, you know, on its own, that sounds like a good thing. Well, let's keep reading. Seniors and other individuals have the right to protect themselves, says Joe Baca of California. Shit, I'm amazed that's coming out of a California guy. But one of the 13 Democrats who voted for the amendment. Those guns will be registered. Those individuals have a right in a public housing or other place to protect themselves. That's nice. Let's see. The public housing and urban development does not have a specific policy concerning guns in public housing. Several local agencies banned them to reduce violent crime in housing projects. I think by violent crime, they mean to say Negroes. Major urban centers. Wait a minute. Aren't those where all the Negroes live? They began to adopt gun bans in the 90s, and advocates of such steps argue that the bans have helped improve the safety of public housing. From Negroes? There was a time during the 70s and 80s when public housing developments were considered killing grounds. Was that because of Negroes? Said Emmanuel Cleaver II, Democrat, Missouri, who grew up in public housing. Quote, it is just foolhardy to place guns in the developments of poor people, many whom are unemployed, and place these guns around children. Why would we try to put guns in the most densely populated areas in the urban core? It's just unbelievable. Now, that's from Emmanuel Cleaver II, Democrat of Missouri, right? Negroes. Well, if this guy grew up in public housing, I don't know who their rep is, but it's probably a nigger themselves. I love how the Negroes do black-on-black crime and all that shit. I think it's wonderful. We need to start up a collection. It's going to be the Guns for Niggers collection, and we're going to get the cheapest guns we can, and we're going to give them out to the niggerest of the nigger, okay? You got to be pure blood, got to be totally black, you got to have the big nose and the monkey ears, and you got to have a speech impediment, you got to be hard to understand, and hopefully, we can get it to the people that are actually on crack and on drugs and alcohol. See, that would be wonderful. That's what I want to give it to, all right? And then we're going to dub them the Black KKK, and we're just going to let them go around robbing and killing and stealing and fucking all the niggers up, and it's going to be wonderful, okay? So we win two ways, okay? Niggers get arrested for committing crimes, and they'll shoot somebody, and it's probably going to be another darkie. So, shit, we're going to vote for both sides. You're going to play them both against each other. They're wonderful. All right. Illinois, the land of O Negro, is serious about making the Second Amendment so expensive only the rich can exercise it. Democrat is proposing a law that requires firearm owners to have $1 million insurance policy. What the? Oh, my God. This is outrageous. All right. What douchebag's doing this? Kenneth Duncan, a former social worker and Democrat member of the Illinois House of Rep, introduced HB 0687, called Firearm Owner's ID Insurance Bill. All right. Quote, any person who owns a firearm in this state, shall maintain a policy of liability insurance in the amount of at least $1 million, specifically covering damages resulting from negligent or willful acts involving the use of such firearm as owned by such person. My God. I mean, can you imagine how expensive that kind of insurance would be? Man, you know, it's not enough that you've got health insurance. Now you got to have go shoot the town up insurance. $1 million. Well, I wonder how much damage you'd have to do with your gun to exceed that $1 million policy. I think that's funny. I wonder what a human life is worth. I wish those guys would give me a number so I could add up, you know, how many people is within your insurance policy, because, you know, God forbid they sue you and take your house or something like that. So you got to make sure that you only murder the people within the limit of the insurance policy so you don't go over the limit. You know, it's very important. You know. All right, moving on. This is one of the things I really don't like. FBI demands tattoo shops rat on customers. This is, okay, late 2009. This is October 30. Are you in the market for a patriotic tattoo, the Gadsden flag, maybe a sticker? You better not, unless you want that local tattoo artist to snitch on you. That's right, the FBI, the organized child molesting ring, in league with the Bureau of Justice Department, Department of Homosexuals, has launched a program that harks back to East Germany's Stasi. Ooh, the Stasi. The FBI has instructed Philadelphia tattoo shops to rat out customers if they demand privacy, insist on paying with cash, engage in a suspicious behavior, make anti-American comments, or request a tattoo that are extremist symbols. Okay, we just take up those two words because that's just a longer way of saying swastika. That's right. So this is swastikas. Okay. Now remember, resist.com has been telling you people not to get their kind of shit. Kind of hard to say, I'm not a neo-Nazi. I'm just a good little Jew. When you got, like, a huge swastika on your back and on your arm, and you got, like, a Nazi death camp Auschwitz tattoo right on your chest. Okay, come on, guys. You know, you ain't gonna fool nobody. All right. It is not merely extremist symbols. The FBI literature instructs tattoo shops to be on the lookout for people who change hair colors, style of dress, or shave beards between visits. Suspicious people include those with missing fingers or hands, chemical burns, strange odors, or bright-colored stains. You know what? I think we're going to have to call it discrimination against the disabled. Because if you're missing a hand or finger, as far as the FBI is concerned, that obviously means you're a pipe bomb maker. That isn't very good. I mean, really, does somebody come right fresh out of blowing off their finger, like cooking up C4 with, like, dirty pink clothes and, like, come directly into the gun store smelling like C4 and gasoline? I'm just wondering, like how fucking retarded you got to be to come in there, like, nigga, you just step out of a meth lab? Come on, man. Oh, and there's stuff all over you. And I think you've got, is that cocaine underneath your nose? Come on. This is just stupid. All right, I'm going to read this for me. I'm looking at the form, but I got to try and describe it. All right. It's a joint publication, DOJ, Bureau of Justice and Assistance, and Federal Bureau of Investigation, Communities Against Terrorism. Potential indicators of terrorist activities related to tattoo shops. Oh, I got to call them up and ask them, how could I recognize terrorism if I open up a donut store? All right. What should I consider suspicious? It is important to remember the application of body art, including symbols commonly associated with extremist ideology, may be an exercise of the right of free speech or expression. Therefore, the sole act of seeking a specific tattoo or unusual placement of tattoos should not in and of itself be considered suspicious or reported. Rather, it is a combination of suspicious behavior and requests as assessed by the shop owner based on professional experience that should be leading to the possible reporting of the activity. Okay, that's crock of shit. Alright. People who provide identification that is inconsistent or suspect demands identity quote-unquote privacy, insist on paying with cash or uses credit cards and different names, significantly alters appearance from visit to visit, shaving beard, changing hair color, style of dress, so forth. Maybe that's just reference to skinhead. missing hand, finger, chemical burns, strange odors, bright colored stains on clothing. I was kind of wondering, since when does making explosives give you a bright colored stain on your clothing? I don't know. That's kind of a surprise to me. Alright, moving on. Make racist or extreme religious statements coupled with comments that appear violent or to condone violence. Make suspicious comments regarding anti-U.S. racial theology, vague or cryptic warnings that suggest or appear to endorse the use of violence in support of a cause. Oh. So apparently they expect you to come directly out of your C4 lab smelling like, I don't know, chemicals or something, missing fingers because, you know, obviously you had to blow yourself up once or twice, saying how you hate niggers and I need the biggest swastika you can fit on my back and chest. I refuse to ID myself and here's cash money. Okay. Who make repeated returns with multiple individuals requesting identical tattoos. Request a tattoo and state intent is to target specific group or individual. What? Yes, I need a swastika tattoo so I can beat up niggers. For some reason, I couldn't beat up niggers with a swastika tattoo. Inquire about unusual methods of tattooing or placement of tattoos in which it could allow the concealment of extremist symbols. Ah. Well, I need it on the exact place where my nutsack will covers it up, because otherwise somebody can see my Nazi tattoo. Okay. It is important to remember that just because someone's speech, actions, belief, appearance, or way of life is different, it does not mean he or she is suspicious. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Division, FBI.gov, 215-418-4000. Ask for the domestic terrorism squad. And when you get them on the phone, tell them, fuck you. What should I do? Be part of the solution. Require valid ID from all new customers. Keep records of purchases. Talk to customers, ask questions, and listen to and observe their responses. Watch for people and actions that are out of place. Make note of suspicious statement, people, or vehicles. Something seems wrong, call law enforcement. Do not jeopardize your safety, the safety of others. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, isn't that some shit right there? Well, it should kind of go to what we've been telling people for a minute. Don't get a big swastika on your forehead. Go on. Moving on. New York. Albany County's ammunition sales law is way out of step. All right. A local law A for 09 would tightly regulate in the interest of public safety all ammunition sold in Albany County, not just ammo for handguns, which is already closely monitored by state law. Well, come down south. You can get some all you whatever you want, no questions asked. Okay? But rifle and shotgun ammo is regulated also. Okay, hunting and target ammo, basically anybody buying .22 ammunition, we have to show ID, declare the gun, have the serial number registered with the ammo seller, okay, and the buyer would have to state his intent of use, and he could be refused the purchase. The ammo seller would have to keep records for 10 years. And let me remind you again that you have to show ID, declare the gun, makes, model, serial number, and state the reason why you have it. Can you believe this shit? Yes, I need ammunition for my Mark II Ruger. Yeah, and here's my fake ID, and here's my serial number on it, and I'm going to put a silencer on it and go around scalping Negroes. That's what I'm going to do with it. Yeah, I'm sure motherfuckers are going to say that. Uh-huh. Anyway, you look at it, it's an unreasonable assault on lawful gun owners and hunters without any logic behind it except through arrest. It's ludicrous. This flies in the face of a long tradition in this state and all other states of not registering long guns, rifles, or shotguns, okay? These weapons are generally not used in crimes or illegal gun trade. There is no demonstrable need for this law, none. Well, of course there's a demonstrable need. You could defend yourself. God forbid you have a rifle. In fact, you know, we got assault weapons, right? Well, you got sniper rifles and deer rifles, and they're called politician getters, all right? I always thought it would be funny to put one of those AT&T slogan stickers on the side of one of my rifles, because it would say, reach out and touch someone. God didn't like that when I said that at the gun store, reach out and touch someone. All right. Governor Perry confronted on Texas gun show shutdown. This is extremely recent. This is last month, January 25th. Texas gun shows got shut down, and the governor made a little off-the-wall comment. He said, go find another location for it. If they shut that down again, then he might consider that harassment. That was his comment there. Let's see, in Austin, Texas... Okay, this is another gun show thing. Public notice, selling of firearms. At the direction of Austin Police Department and BATF, anyone selling a firearm at this show will be asked to comply with the following. Asked to comply. Not legally required. I just want to put that out there. Anyone selling a personal firearm must go through a licensed FFL dealer in the show to transfer the firearm to the new owner. Selling of firearms in the parking lot will not be permitted. Thank you for your cooperation. Okay? Go fuck yourself. That's right. Gun shows are a great place to pick up a gun. No questions asked. You go, you know, you see people walking in and out. You go early. Somebody be standing around, not doing anything. And a lot of guys will tape a little, like a sticky note to their gun or whatever. I'll say, you know, $1,000, $500, whatever. You got cash money, baby. You just switch up right there. Hey, that's a nice little shotgun. It's $500. Thank you. Goodbye. And it's that fast. That's called the gun show loophole. Basically, if you're not a gun dealer and you're not in the professional business of buying and selling guns, you're exempt. A lot of people don't really use that loophole. But, you know, people feel uncomfortable selling a gun they bought, but it's totally legitimate. And, the BATF claims wetback drug cartels exploit the gun show loophole. Quote, guns are purchased illegally, sold at a profit to drug dealers, used to kill innocent people and police officers. Well, I'm worried about the innocent people, but killing those police officers, I'm not going to cry about that. All while local law enforcement authorities lack the federal support they need to do their job. All right. Well, hey, Mexicans, stop being fucking lazy and go come up with your own gun. Stop fucking buying ours, asshole. Let's see. For now, bullshit, ever since, you know, gun sales between adults are all legal in Texas. Residents of Austin should not be intimidated by this bogus color of law attempt to chill the Second Amendment. Yeah, that's right. Just, you know, hey, if they don't allow it in Texas, shit, move over to the next state. Buy your gun at a gun show, no questions asked, no paperwork, cash and carry somewhere else. Screw them. NSA, supercomputers to store Americans' private data permanently. Ooh, spooky. All right, NSA has been keeping permanent records of American telephone call habits and internet traffic since September 11. No longer able to store all the intercepted phone calls and email in Maryland, Fort Meade headquarters. The NSA is moving on west. That's right. They are going to Utah. You ever heard of a yottabyte? Well, that's how much they're storing. I'm sure you've all heard of a megabyte. Yeah. And a gigabyte. Yeah, it's next step up. And a terabyte. Now, if you're a high roller, if you've got the money, you know, maybe you have a terabyte hard drive, okay? Well, when you're a real badass like the federal government, you go beyond terabytes, you're in yottabytes. In fact, a terabyte is 1 trillion bits of information, okay? And a yottabyte is... I think it's going to be a gigabyte times a gigabyte, because this thing has so many zeros behind it, it made my head spin. You know, it's so many zeros, I can't count them all, I'm looking at them. That's how bad it is. Okay, so over there in Utah is where you're going to want to take your ride or truck and your fertilizer. Whoa, wait a minute. I can't say that on the air. All right. Moving on to the next one. Resist DC, a step-by-step plan for freedom. Okay. There is a grassroots movement to have state legislation. State legislators will pass 10 key pieces of legislation with key to put the federal government back in its place. Yeah, it'd be the trash can. People must pass legislation through the initiative process. If any piece of the agenda fails, county sheriffs must reaffirm and uphold their oaths to protect the Constitution. This is Tea Party stuff. Okay. Basically, they want to pass a bunch of nullification laws that'll stomp out health care, socialized health care, cap and trade, federal enumerated power requirement, and establishment of a federal tax escrow account. Okay. And they're pushing this thing around, county sheriffs, the Second Amendment. Okay. The idea is they want a locally introduced sheriff first model, which means in order for the feds to go arrest you, they have to go through the sheriff, and the sheriff has to sign off on it because they're in their jurisdiction. I'm sure that, you know, we'll find a way to get you, but I guess it's some protection. Extension of the Castle Doctrine, prohibition of gun and ammunition tracking, all right, Firearms Freedom Act, going to try and push that. Let's see, quite simply, we need transparency in government, not in people. Montana started the Firearms Freedom Act, okay, to rein in the federal government's use of the Commerce Clause to regulate everything in the stream of commerce, right? Basically, Montana said, fuck you. And if you put a stamp on the bottom of your gun, it says, made in Montana, the gun doesn't have to have a serial number, you don't have to register it, none of that shit. It's got to be made in Montana for sale to a Montana person, and, you know, basically the idea is we're going to use all Montana shit to make it. And Tennessee did the same thing, and that sort of legislation is pending in some other places, and these politicians have actually come right out and say, this is to let the federal government know, hands off our guns. Well, that's nice. That is a really positive thing, in my opinion. Problem is, the legislation's untested. ATF sent out a letter to all the people who are gun dealers, and they said, don't you dare buy into this state rights bullshit that you have the right to make your own guns. The answer is no. But nobody's ever tested that in court. Yeah, Tennessee lawmakers sending the federal government a loud message, hands off our guns. Yeah, basically that's the same thing. It's called the Tennessee Firearms Freedom Act. According to Rep. Henry Fletcher, Democrat from Cooksville, it's a way to make a statement that says, this is Tennessee, this is our guns. Let's see. A new law is under consideration that would say firearms manufactured and sold inside of Tennessee, federal gun laws do not apply. Yeah. Visit any gun store right now, and you'll hear the same story that gun buyers are stocking up on weapons and ammunition is in short supply. Well, yes, it is. It's getting in the right hands. It's getting in yours. That's right. Pennsylvania, Firearms Freedom Act legislation introduced. I don't know if that passed or not. This is an older article, but yeah, that's wonderful. Moving on. People running into gun shows, panic buying ammo. Still, apparently, there is still a record high demand for ammunition. Let's see, prices have gone up. Semi-automatic guns are going fast. Everybody's terrified that, oh, Negro will ban guns. What's new? There's a leaked Obama gun ban list. And basically anything cool is on it. Yeah. Mini-14s, that'd be banned. Most places, that's not an assault weapon. On the nigger list, it is. M1 30 caliber carbine, you know, that old World War II 50s gun. Yeah, they're trying to ban those, too. A lot of times, that's not considered an assault weapon because it has no pistol grip. And the reason why the Mini 14 is on there is because a lot of people make these aftermarket banana clips, you know, these 30-round clips, 40-round clips, and they don't like that. Let's see. Yeah, if you wanted an AR-15, like half the price, you could get this Sturm Ruger brand Mini 14. And by the aftermarket magazines, they have like 30 rounds. It's 223. It's basically an M1 carbine, modernized so it can fire 223. That's really all it is. And it's not very expensive, like a $500 gun, and it's nice as shit. I mean, you know, if you can't get the job done with that, you're not trying. Let's see. New Orleans mayor admits illegal gun confiscation. After a three-year battle over the unconstitutional confiscation of lawfully owned guns, the city of New Orleans has agreed to settle a lawsuit brought by the NRA. A permanent injunction has been issued against the city. Mayor Ray Nagin and current police chief Warren Riley, the Second Amendment Foundation, assisted the NRA against them. Quote, today's outcome is an important victory for the citizens of New Orleans and the Second Amendment, said Wayne LaPierre, NRA's executive VP. We fought a three-year-long fundamental legal challenge to assert the inherent self-defense right for the law-abiding citizen, knowing the Constitution will prevail. I mean, the real question is, how does this even get into court? I mean, if I was a judge, I'd just say, look, NRA, you win. Bang, bang. Next case. You know, this is flat. It was just to tell all the cops and everybody who went along with that, that we're going to try you for being a criminal, and we're just going to have to, I don't know, maybe CMA you, deprive you of life. Let's see. The city admitted that firearm confiscations were unconstitutional and illegal. So they made them admit that. All right. Under the terms of the injunction, Mayor Ray Nigger, Police Chief Warren Riley, and any agents or employee of the City of New Orleans shall cease and desist confiscating lawfully possessed firearms from all citizens, make an aggressive attempt to return any and all firearms which may have been stolen during the period between August 29 and December 31, 05. Within 1 month of the settlement, post on the city website the procedure for the return of confiscated firearms, and must include an interactive form for those claiming firearms to fill them out, resulting in a timely transmission with the information to the appropriate official. Right? Within 1 month, city must mail notices to all individuals who are identified on the property tags of the guns in the city's possession. All right, on behalf of the blah, 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 blah. That's the end of the article. Well, how about that? Pelosi demands gun registration. Uh-oh. Yeah, on April 7th, she acknowledged gun registrations on her agenda. The Second Amendment would not stand in the way of administration plans to crack down on alleged gun trafficking in Mexico. Well, that's funny. Our guns are going away, and Mexicans are coming in. So that's the worst of both worlds. It appears that the O'Nigger administration and Capitol Hill anti-gunners have dropped all pretenses about their plans for gun owners' rights, and it looks like the gloves are coming off. Pelosi, that bitch that bumped bellies with Tom Metzger once upon a time in the 80s, quote, we want them to register. We don't want them crossing state lines. Gottlieb noted that citizens' rights do not stop at a state line. But that doesn't really matter. History has shown that around the world, registration has always led to confiscation. Yep. I don't think the Second Amendment will stand in the way of efforts we have begun and will expand upon, according to that filthy bitch. Let's see. They imposed registration of semi-autos in Pelosi's California, and it led to a ban. But that certainly didn't disarm criminals like convicted felon who killed four Oakland police officers last month. Oh. Yeah, not applaud anybody who smokes four cops, 8+. And I don't care who doesn't like it. I don't like cops. When bad things happen to them, I am happy as shit. All right. Press seems deliberately blind to statements from Pelosi and Holder, who blame our gun rights for incompetence in dealing with crime. And we all know crime is a loan word for niggers. Anyway, Pax, more than 9 million gun owners haven't hurt your body and are tired of being treated like criminals. Well, yeah. Oh, here's something awesome. There are these secure RFID blocking sleeves. These things are neat. If you've got certain kinds of credit cards or a passport or a card issued by your employer, see, a lot of these things have these RFID chips to where they can transmit your information remotely, right? Well, they got these secure badge holders, secure wallets, passport sleeves. They've even got this thing that you can put your cell phone in, and it kills the signal. That's right. The shielding on this is designed to block radio energy from going through it. Now, they said be careful if you leave your phone on when you put it in this jacket, because one of the problems is when your cell phone looks for service, it actually eats its battery up real quick trying to make contact. So it's like just a make sure thing. But don't leave it on and put it in the sleeve because you eat up your battery, just so you guys know that. But if you want to make sure that nobody's tracking you when you're doing some stuff, when you're somewhere you shouldn't be, supposedly, you know, maybe you can throw that in there. Let's see, what else we got? Get that off the list. BATF backdoor registration scheme. Ooh. Let's see. Something about, oh, this is a really long article, man. I don't know what this is. Something from the Jews for Prevention of Fireship, for the Preservation of Fireship Ownership. Somebody starting a rumor about a national gun registry, blah, blah, blah. Eh, bullshit. And let's move to the next one. Sorry to waste your time with that distraction from that article. Let's see, soldiers. Yep, they're being required to report their guns. Memorandum for record, subject, privately owned weapons. Charlie Company, 3rd Battalion, 187th Infantry Regiment. All right. Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Effective March 09, all soldiers in possession of a privately owned weapon will be required to inform the chain of command, the registration number, location of where weapon is stored, and possession of a concealed carry permit in issuing state. If a soldier comes into possession of a privately owned weapon, he is required to inform the chain of command. Okay. Let's see. I live off post with my firearms, which I don't bring on post for any reason. He was ordered to fill out all of the information and any permits he has. Wasn't that interested. When he wanted to complain to the first sergeant, he was said, just put your shit on the form. Isn't that nice? FBI wants palm prints, eye scans, and tattoo mapping. That's right. Kimberly Del Greco, the FBI's Biometric Services Section Chief, is citing terrorism as a reason to add palm prints, scars, tattoo, iris eye patterns, and facial shapes to determine a suspect. You know, as far as I'm concerned, a fingerprint's good enough, and I think we all know that for honest reasons that is. But you know what? They're just doing everything, and there's a lot of jurisdictions that are really hustling this eyeball scan. Yeah, Colorado's doing it, and a couple other places. I might have that in my list of articles. Let me go now to the Air Force Web Posting Response Assessment Guide number 2. Yeah, there is a big push to go after blogs that criticize the government. Yep. Let's walk through this thing here. I'm looking at a flow chart for how they respond and deal with it. Discovery. Web posting. Has somebody discovered a post about the organization? Is it positive or balanced? No. Trolls, is this a site dedicated to bashing and degrading others? No. Rager, is it posting a rant, rage, joke, or satirical in nature? Okay, if it's either one of those two things, you're supposed to monitor it only and report to headquarters. Avoid responding to specific posts, monitor the site for relevant information and comments. Notify headquarters. Okay. If it's misguided, if there's erroneous facts in the posting, fix the facts, okay? If it's an unhappy customer, if it's the result of a negative experience, restoration. Do you wish to rectify the situation and act on a reasonable solution? Let's see. And final evaluation, if it's none of those, they provide guidelines to check in. It says transparency, disclose your Air Force connection. Sourcing, cite your sources, hyperlinks, video, images, or references. Timeliness, take time to create good responses, don't rush. Tone, respond in a tone that reflects Thailand and the rich heritage of the Air Force. Influence, focus on the most used sites related to the Air Force. Okay, with these web postings, they want concurrence, a factual and well-cited response which may agree or disagree with the post, yet is not factually erroneous, a rant or rage or bashing in nature. You can concur with the post, let it stand, or provide a positive reveal. Okay. All right. So, yeah, there's this big push to have a psych-ops campaign. I got some other articles about it here, but basically they're going after hearts and minds of the Americans. How about that? Let's see. New crisis cooker lets you prepare hot meals and the power is off. This is Gizmo. I think it's overpriced, but it's a good idea. Crisiscooker.com. It is a stove designed to run off propane or charcoal or wood, and it's a collapsible deal. And it looks like you can make a full meal for a man on this thing. It's not like one of those little bullshitty deals. This looks pretty good. It's got adjustable air nozzles so you can cook it hotter or colder, you know, and it's, I guess, you know, you kind of have a little bit of a way to control the temperature on it. Let's see, 877-327-0365. All right, well, look it up if that's your kind of thing. It's around. Let's see. Ah, this one's a good one. Most American youth unfit to serve. That's right. The ineligible population breaks down this way. 35% fatties. Oops, I moved it on me. Yep. 18% are disqualified from illegal drug use. All right. 9% are Category 5, the dumbest, too dumb to serve. Too many dependents under age 18, 6%. And 5% are criminals. How about that? Yep. U.S. military youth are unfit to serve because of the shape. Yeah. A full 35%, over one-third of Americans, 31.2 million Americans aged 17 to 24 are unqualified, mostly because they're fat. Yes, that is true. So, guys, listening to this, stop being fat. Hopefully that makes them ineligible to be policemen also. All right. Let's see. Military reports. Secretly recruit or hire bloggers. Yeah, that's what I was mentioning before. Information strategists can consider clandestinely recruiting or hiring prominent bloggers or people of prominence to pass the U.S. message. Process of boosting the blog to a position of influence could take some time. If they cannot recruit somebody, they will start from scratch. Eh, you know, eventually they'll get there, but, you know. Anyway, let's see. In search for foreign intel, spies turn to YouTube, MySpace, and blogs. This is a reminder that the CIA Open Source Department is going after YouTube. CIA and those kind of guys are looking and recording, and the NSA really does keep on track of your YouTube. Pentagon used psych ops on U.S. public, documents show. Well, yeah, that's true. Raw stories uncovered evidence that directly ties U.S. military propaganda operations that are supposedly only towards foreign audiences are being directed towards Americans. They call it outreach. What a bunch of shit. So be aware of that if you weren't already. In fact, they're going to bump it up to Office of Strategic Deception, January 27, 2010. They are trying to go one step above, and they're trying to get the Office of the National Director of Intelligence to create a team to lay out a course of action and to start coming up with strategic deception, okay? Strategic deception has to provide the U.S. with significant advantages that translate into operational tactical success. Successful deception also minimizes American vulnerabilities while simultaneously setting conditions to surprise adversaries. Deception cannot succeed in wartime without developing theory and doctrine in peacetime, according to this internal report. Well, now they're going to have a specific office aligning. Normally, politicians just do it off the fly. Now they're going to have an office to do it special. Let's see. And they're also going to do war gaming and all kinds of other training on this. They call themselves the Cabal, a small cluster of policy advisors based in the in the Pentagon's Office of Special Plans. Wow. You got to look into this one, guys. This is dangerous. Pentagon, Internet needs to be dealt with as if it's an enemy weapons system. Let's see. They're putting high on their list to do offensive suite of capabilities to attack electronics and computer networks. The department must be prepared to fight the net. The department will fight the net as if it would a weapons system. Information may threaten America's ability to exercise its dominant military pattern power. Wow, that's bad, folks. What else we got here? Pentagon wants authority to put nearly 400,000 military personnel in the United States. And now that they've repealed posse comitatus, okay, whenever they declare a state of emergency, they want the excuse to be able to put armed American soldiers on street corners, okay? So you guys better be looking for that. And NORTHCOM is the section in charge of that. All right, let's move on. Let's see. More evidence of Pentagon war against the Internet. Yeah, it's their counter-blogging plan. I already mentioned the Air Force plan, but let's see. In the case of InfoWars and prison planet websites, CENTCOM has been advised not to respond to them. Let's see. Central Command sent an email to bloggers on the subject of global war on terror as part of the Pentagon's engagement operations. They will inject positive stories where the whole public can see the good stories that they want to push. Well, that's interesting. All right, moving on. Pentagon denies studying clandestine use of blogs. But that's an older thing, and basically they promised they weren't going to do any of the stuff that they're doing now. So this is an 08 story, and everything they denied, they're doing now. That's funny. Let's see. People are selling manuals on how to defeat the New World Order. Isn't that crazy? Understanding and Surviving Martial Law. Apparently that's a book now. Survive and Even Prosper During the Coming Police State. Sam Adams, call now. Solutions for Science. Yeah, that's that right-winger show. Pentagon treats counter recruitment activity as terrorism. Now, this is an older one. This is from 06, but they're being declassified now. They've got the threat and local observation notice called Talon. And it's this thing the Department of Homeland Security has. It's designed to alert commanders and staff, and it gets the cops out to monitor anyone doing any war protests or meetings. It's the same way they did COINTELPRO from way back when they were going after the Quakers, who had the American Friends Service Committee, that are trying to tell people not to join the Army. They are watching them. They are watching them. Paraben, PARABEN.com. That joint sells forensic products for computers. They should worry you. They got a thing called a chat stick. Yeah, you stick this in a USB port, and its sole purpose is to find every electronic conversation that may be on your computer forensically, and it sucks it off. So if you've been chatting with somebody on Yahoo Messenger or AOL or whatever, it is designed to grab that and only that quick. And it's supposed to be in this, you know, not-so-noticeable little thing so that at a border checkpoint or at a policeman coming over, they can do it real quick and easy on the fly, copy it off, and review it later. What else we got? There's something else that disturbed me. Yeah, they got the porn stick, which is the same thing. It actually looks through all your images and sees anything porno-related. They got a SIM card reader, okay. Did you know if you get arrested or detained now, the cops will go through your cell phone? Yeah, that's like a new thing. And they've got this SIM card copier, which can keep records of all the stuff you've been typing on your phone, your calls in, calls out, you know, anything in your phone's memory is basically on that chip. Text messages, probably. Local cops, douchebags, set up checkpoints to stop terrorism in Virginia. It's called VIPR, Visible Intermodal Protection and Response. It's run by the TSA. 60 people with the TSA, Tunnel Police, Coast Guard, NCIS. Shit, I only thought they were a TV show. FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, all these little cocksuckers. They're doing a big thing in Norfolk, and they're checking everybody out, putting all these cameras up. Be aware of that if you're in Virginia. Let's see. Secret Pentagon Spy Unit. Closed or outsourced? That's right. They call it Counterintelligence Field Activity, CIFA. Basically, that's the illegal domestic surveillance operation that targeted domestic groups. And basically, Talon, threat and local observation notice databases were supposedly dismantled after the ACLU put the light on them. Basically, they switched to private security firms and like that. I'm sure all you guys are real surprised. That's the same article. Let me get that out of the way. Foreign cops take part in terrorism drill in California. Wow, that's scary. Let's see. Armed officers in full battle gear will be sprinkled through the Bay Area, rescuing hostages, fighting robbers, quelling terrorism. They're going to have officers taking part and international observers. 8-member team representing French National Police. Research, assistance, intervention, and dissuasion unit will compete. Let's see. French police are not troops. However, the French raid unit is a SWAT team that uses special forces techniques. In fact, triple tapped, apparently you could do that, a mentally disturbed man who took children hostage in 93. They killed the man while he was sleeping. Isn't that nice? It is interesting to note how terrorism is now trying to be associated with bank robbery. It's part of the federal crime to characterize everything from marijuana to regular crime as terrorism related. Yeah. They notified the residents there will be the sound of gunfire and blasts, all part of Urban Shield. One of the biggest domestic terrorism drills in the country. So $1 million two-day event where 27 teams will be activated and running around in full battle gear, shooting the place up in the Bay Area. So, yeah, that's the notice to those folks. Let's see. Local cops now have access to Pentagon domestic terror database. Isn't that wonderful? Yep, that's part of the Talon system. Let's see. Lou Dobbs alert. Wetbacks get tax rebates. Yeah, those ITINs they use, individual taxpayer identification numbers. Well, apparently, even the ones, the wetbacks that get kicked out can get reality, I'm sorry, get these tax rebates. Quote, the reality is that those who file the tax return will be eligible for tax rebates of $600 to $1,200, according to Senator Ken Salazar. This issue has not been addressed by the senators writing the bill. How about that? Well, you know what? Not only are we not going to tax them, we're going to pay them to fucking be here and be wetbacks. That's fucking wonderful. Let's see. Yeah, IDStronghold.com. If you wanted that cell phone protector bag, and those RFID killer bags that, you know, nobody can get anything off your credit cards or your ID or your passport or anything, you want to go to IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. That's expensive, like $5. And Arizona may abandon speed cameras after activist pressure. Well, good. Let's see, over in London, there is a push to put automatic speed-limiting devices on cars. Yeah. They're claiming they can cut injuries from road accidents by 29% and reduce carbon emissions. Ooh, that's wonderful. Well, be aware that they've got three variations of this device. One that is a warning. One that doesn't let you speed, but you can override it. And another one that you can't even override. Isn't that dangerous? You guys over there in Britain, man, you got problems. They're going to be hooked up to satellite devices. Basically, it's, you know, it's GPS, right? And they call it intelligent speed adaptation. And supposedly, it's going to be voluntary. They're trying to get the car makers to put the shit in the cars. That's a very bad thing. According to a poll carried out, I don't know by who, 54% of motorists would be willing to have the system installed in the car if it was voluntary. They'd be prepared to pay £111 for the equipment, although some believe it should be provided for free. I think it is a bad idea, said Andrew Howard, head of road safety, but there's a number of issues, such as accuracy and how well it will work when there is a slow service road running alongside a major one. How about that? I think this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And apparently, all the people in UK have missed fine. All right. Street sweeper cameras eye illegal parking. Yeah, that's nothing new. They got these systems. They run on IR rays. And they have optical character recognition, and they look at your license plates, and they have these very distinctive gizmos on cop cars that look like beer cans or something that are up at the top, like pointed down and to the left and to the right to look at the license plates. Yeah, so they'll run through a parking lot, and they'll bing if it's a stolen car or something like that. Let's see. Guess that's it. I think I'll close up the show. I'm probably right around that 1 hour mark. It was good to have you guys here listening to the show. So you remember, stay white, be white, act white, think white. Five words, I have nothing to say. Lone Wolf DC, out.
Now, I believe that show was February the 17th, 2009. pretty sure it wasn't 2010. So that's an archive, one of the shows out of the archives from DC Wolf. And DC Wolf is in good health, and he'll be back with us one of these days. But anyhow, I like his shows. A lot of that material has been surpassed, of course, since he made that show. But there's still quite a bit of meat in there, and his delivery is pretty good. So anyhow, we'll see Monday, Moon's Nave. Yeah, tomorrow I'm taking a day off, man. Papa's taking a day off. And in the meantime, 14.5. And remember, here's one thing I'll leave you with. Both the liberals and the conservatives talk about World War II. But there's a problem with their logic. Because they're always, it's Hitler this and Nazi that. But they never go back and say, well, what triggered this? Because there's always another stage in the operation. And if you don't link the dominoes together, you come away with a totally, well, it's just not good information. Because World War I never ended and became what you call World War II. And the people who always go on and on and on about Hitler and the National Socialists in Germany, they just don't get it that they never would have been, an Adolf Hitler if there hadn't been World War I. So why do not they dismantle and take apart World War I when they're talking about history? Well, it's obvious because everybody was making money. They was making a fortune, and the Jews were making a fortune, and the Christians were making a fortune off World War I. And then, of course, the horrible treatment of the Germans in World War I and after World War I. So they don't want to talk about that. But you cannot get a correct view of history unless you see the linkage. The linkage is what's most important if you want to change things. If you're not concerned about changing things, well, don't worry about linkage. I'll see you Moon's Day, okay?